Welcome to Authors of the Pacific Northwest, where we connect Pacific Northwest authors with new listeners and provide advice for aspiring authors on the business of writing. I'm your host, Vicki J. Carter.
So hi there, podcast listeners. Thank you so much for coming back to the podcast. And today I have an amazing author from up north. His name is Derek. So Derek, why don't you say hi and tell us your first name and last name, because I forgot to mention your last name.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for having me on, Vicki. My name is Derek Hines, H-E-I-N-Z. Ketchup, just like the ketchup.
Awesome. Awesome. So Derek, what state are you currently living in the Northwest?
I live in Washington.
Awesome. The beautiful state of Washington that we don't like to tell anybody it's beautiful.
No, so, it is right now, that's for sure.
The last 3 days have been amazing, hasn't it?
They have, but I think I just let that secret out.
Yeah, well, I do it every time on the podcast. So anybody outside of the Pacific Northwest is hearing how much I love it here. So Derek, tell me and the listeners a little bit about your day job, because I know you have a day job. So what is that currently?
I work in school administration in a public school, middle school to be exact, and I'm a dean of students, which essentially makes me the guy who does the majority.
The principal.
Yeah, the majority of the discipline falls into my lap at the school, so it's a draining job. To say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just talking for listeners beforehand. Derek and I have a lot of similarities in our background and work experience. So it took us a while to get to record because we share a lot of commonality in what we do in our day jobs. So Derek, jumping in for our listeners that are readers, what is one thing you would like them to know right up front about you? Something special about you?
Oh, well, I would say that in addition to writing and teaching and being with my daughter, who is really the inspiration behind this book, mm-hmm. I am just a big fan of the Northwest and specifically being outside and in the Northwest and doing a lot of fly fishing whenever I can. And then that's when I do a lot of my thinking about what to write, how to write, and thinking about a lot of other things as well as when I'm on a river.
Awesome. Well, my nephews won't be listening to this podcast because they're a little too young, not interested in what Aunt Vicky's doing. But I'm sure this book that I look through your book, I'm like, I got to get this for my nephews. They're going to love it because they're big fishermen, outdoorsmen with my brother, and they're up north near you. So definitely want to get them for Christmas for this. Maybe you'll sign the book for me.
Well, I would be happy to. And, you know, it's only been about a year, a little more than a year in publication, but it really sold well for Father's Day.
Great idea.
Especially for active dads like your brother is.
Well, it's a beautiful book. We're going to talk a little bit about your illustrator. But before then, when, Derek, did you know that you were an author? What was that aha moment?
That's funny. So way back in college, in high school, writing, I read a lot as a kid. I was always reading. And so in high school, I received the departmental award for English. Now we call it language arts, but back then it was English. And I think I was kind of shocked by it, actually, because, I wrote, whenever mm-hmm. we wrote essays, I wrote. And my mom was, you know, euphoric. She's a writer herself.
Oh, is she?
Not a published writer, but she loves to write.
Well, that's fantastic.
So when I won that award, I think that was the proudest moment of my mom's life. And then in college, I had a professor in doing my undergrad who just kept encouraging me to go into journalism or consider being a language arts teacher. And I was really resistant because I was going to be, you know, a businessman and mm-hmm. earn lots of money. And the last thing on my mind was being a teacher. But I, you know, I do like teaching. So I followed that path. And so when I decided I was a writer, wasn't really actually my decision. It was more my brother's. He had always urged me to do it. And I'd shared a lot of things I'd written just for him and even for myself. But he was up visiting once and needed to get on my computer to do something. And when he was on there, he saw a folder I had on my laptop, on my desktop. And the folder was stories for Evie. My daughter's name is Genevieve, and we call her Evie. And he asked what it was, and I told him. He asked if he could take a look, and of course I allowed him to. And there were about a dozen stories I had just written. She's about three or four at the time, and just stories I'd written as she grew up that I was my plan was to give to her someday. And he insisted I try to publish. And I said, I don't know the first thing about publication. To break into, really, really difficult, and deflating.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the rejections you inevitably get when you're trying to crack into the industry. And so, bottom line, long story short, he kept pushing and pushing, and we threw out a few query letters, figured out how to do that, got rejected or didn't hear back at all, and then we tried self-publication. And he actually set me up with Megan Marie Myers, my illustrator.
Okay, I was going to ask how that connection got started.
When you're ready, I'll be happy to launch into that relationship.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you tipped on the scale of where I go with this is publication, the journey of publication for you. And I told you a little bit about this before we started the podcast, and my listeners know this by now that I'm on that journey myself. And I've looked into the self-publishing. I'm looking very heavily into self-publishing because I come from music background, music industry with my husband, and I've seen the whole industry and the not so glamorous side of it. So I'm definitely a control freak, so I'm going to do my own thing. Yes. And so tell me a little bit about, for you, the self-publishing process. You moved into it, and kind of talk me through it as if you're coaching me as a mentor.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
In a short scale.
You may not find this tremendously helpful. So as I said, my brother and I kind of got started going down that road of querying publishers and pitching them. And we gave up on that pretty early on. Yeah. Neither of us had the time nor the energy. So that didn't really get us too far. And then at my job, in my school, we have an amazing lady there who has helped other people with books and promotions and marketing. And she comes from, that industry of promoting and marketing and whatnot.
Wow.
I do not understand in the least.
It's very complicated.
Yeah. And at some point it got out that I had thought about publishing, and she asked me about it. And then I basically had her help me do it. And then she has since published her own book, and we went from there.
Score, another author connection you can get with me so I can get her on the podcast, because it sounds like she has some good information to share too. Well,
probably more than I do.
Well, no, it's so great thing for me, because it is self-defeating. Sometimes the self-doubt that comes up when we're working on this process can be immense. And thank goodness your brother was there to spur you on and push you. It's kind of the process this podcast has developed for me, is besides my family who love me and they're always going to tell me I'm fantastic, but I need other authors to tell me, whoa, this isn't great, or yeah, this is kind of how I did it. Maybe this will work for you. So I'm glad you had those individuals. So connections are huge, huge, huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Firm believer. And I'm not the most natural networker, so it's a little out of my comfort zone, or at least it was. It's not so much anymore.
Well, it's not every strong suit, so stick with us and the authors of the Pacific Northwest. We'll network you, because that's one of the things I love to do. So
I'd be happy to be involved.
Network like crazy. So when you tell me a little bit about the writing process for you. So you were talking about being at the river most of the time when you're at river. So the muse, does it just pop in your head? How do you manage that? Are you like me where you're crazy and you have all these stories going on? I mean, talk me through your process.
Sorry, I got a pistachio stuck in my throat.
It's okay.
And I was chuckling about the crazy part, because
because it's something we talk about often on this podcast.
Yeah, I think to write anything, or even to pursue writing, you have to be a little bit crazy.
Yes.
For me, it happens in a variety of ways. I've always outlined whatever I do, whether it be an essay or a longer piece, and then I can usually just go with it. I don't. and I just have to carve out the time. I can't write. I don't tend to write in chunks very well. I just, when I have the inspiration, I need to go.
Gotcha.
And one thing I haven't told you is I write a lot more narrative pieces, and I'm trying to, well, I'm not trying to so much, is I have a collection of about 15 travel narratives, and they're more fishing narratives, really.
Very cool.
So, yeah, and I'd be happy to share some of those with you. They're funny. Some of them, one of them's tragic. It's actually about a friend and I witnessing a fisherman drown on the Deschutes River down near you in Oregon.
Oh, and, heavens.
Right in front of his family, as a matter of fact. So what I'd eventually like to do is get all of those into a collection of my fly fishing narratives. So I'm working on that as well. And then I mentioned earlier, I have a whole bunch inspired by my daughter, about my daughter. And I have another one that's pretty much ready to go. I just need to get into the illustration process. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a lot of, as inspiration strikes or a thought, I'll put down the notes if I don't have time to write then. Sometimes just in my phone or on OneNote or wherever. And then I try to find some time to devote to sitting down and crafting it. So one of my good friends, we found out he has MS. This was about 5 years ago. So another piece, I've been working on this one. This is one I've had a chunk along with. It's just about his road, you know, the realization and then the acceptance and, you know, like you go through with any life event like that. So that's another piece. And so back to your original question of how I write, it's kind of crazy, kind of sporadic. It's kind of sometimes just spontaneous. A lot of notes, a lot of ideas about topics. And then it's, as I think anyone I've ever talked with who's done anything in the field of writing will tell you, it's about finding the time and the energy and the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Just, pump it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Totally true. I'm a sticky note queen. all my jobs knew this. So I have sticky notes everywhere and I've started to move them now to Scrivener. So it, for me, has been really nice to organize because I'm a inspiration will come in spurts and I only have spurts to write. I can't, it's really hard for me to carve out an hour in any day. So I just spurt it out on Scrivener and then I'm trying to piece it all together. So I find it interesting how people, other authors do it. Someday in my dreamland, we'll be writing all the time, 8 hours a day, you know, pumping out all those great stories. But right now, that's not the reality.
For me,
but I am looking forward to seeing some of your other work. Your fly fishing book sounds absolutely great. Even with that tragic story, I think it'll be fantastic. So
yeah.
That comes out very soon.
And you know what? I'm looking for a pen right now to jot down. You said Scrivener.
Well, you know what? I'll send it to you, and it'll be in our show notes too. So anybody that doesn't know about Scrivener that's listening, it's an amazing tool. Authors around the world love it, and it's organizing in an author's way. It's very fantastic. There's a lot of training out there on it too, because it has a little bit of a tech learning curve. But once you get over that, it's fantastic. So I'll make sure you get it, and our listeners all make sure they have it too, because it's amazing. It changed everything for me from sticky notes to the computer. So it was great.
Well, now that's about the third or fourth time I've heard it mentioned. So yeah. It must be something I need to check into.
Yeah, well, definitely do. Okay. So let's talk about your illustrator, because I read on your website, she's also a Pacific Northwesterner. And kind of tell us the process of working with an illustrator for you. I've had other children's book authors come in and kind of describe theirs, but I think everybody's different in how they work with them.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because, like I said, my brother set that up. Now at this point in the ball game, I was still not sure I even wanted to pursue self-publication for a number of reasons. And that was one big, puzzle piece there is how to find the illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be down in Portland, my old stomping grounds for Thanksgiving a couple, even a few years ago. And my brother hadn't told me that he had set up this appointment. And he's an outside sales guy.
Your brother sounds very tenacious. I like him.
Yeah, he's a little manipulative.
Your guy.
Right. So, he's an outside sales guy and had stumbled into Megan's studio at one point, fell in love with her illustrations, thought they'd be perfect for you know, the kind of the temperature of what I wrote and was writing. And at the last second told me we're going to do this. And I think the reason he knew he should probably not tell me is because I was only down there for a few days and there's a lot of do, and he knew that I wouldn't want to set aside time for that.
Yeah.
But again, his intuition was right. Loved Megan, her energy, her positivity. She wanted to read the story, and she did, and she liked it, and she agreed that her style and the just the mood of the piece seemed to, you know, fit. And then we just had to kind of talk about how to structure a contract, how to do it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to invest a lot of money into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave her a percentage of, we structured the contract so that she would also be incentivized to help sell the book and give her profits.
Very good.
It worked great. I would, we talk about a page, which is basically a rhyming couplet, and then she would kind of sketch it, and then I'd give her feedback, and we both agreed that that was real natural and it flowed well, and she seemed to like my feedback because I'm not artistic at all. So suggestions, but each time I was doubting myself along the way, and then it, from there it went pretty quickly. And then there's the whole thing. You know, she did her work on canvas with oil, and then digitizing, and I still don't understand how that all went down.
Oh, so she digitized it all for you and sent it to you.
Yep.
Fantastic. Yep.
And, wow. And then that's where we went to Ray. Who was helping me along the way, and she kind of put all that together. So that's where I'm relatively ignorant, but it came together.
Yeah. We met Ray. So Ray was already been on the podcast. By the time yours airs, she's already been on. Fantastic. Okay. She is definitely got her stuff down when it comes to the marketing and the placing of, you know, the cover. She's got design down very well. So
she does.
You had good help there.
Yep. I was fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. So you touched a little bit about, I don't know if you actually touched on it all the way, but since this is going for authors around the Pacific Northwest, but also to anybody else, but clearly in the Pacific Northwest, I like to have authors kind of share with us if you have any support groups that you might be using, either Facebook support groups or anybody that other people can connect with, associations, that kind of thing. So are there? For you.
Yeah. That's a great question. It's something I need to do more of. I know they're out there and I know they're easy to find. There's the Pacific Northwest Writers Association.
Mm-hmm.
I was a member to get started, and I live in Issaquah, and they have their, they call it, I think, their little writer's cottage, just literally a couple miles down the road from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, serendipitous because I happened to be just out shopping with my daughter one day and came across this writer's cottage and went in there and talked to the people, and they're just so helpful. And anytime, even before I was a paid, you know, a subscribing member, you know, of course you have dues and all that.
Yeah.
They would just welcome me and we'd talk, and I'd pick their brains. And so they're easy to come by, you know, you get into one of those groups. And there's also the, I can't remember the acronym, but it's there's a couple of different societies for children's book writers.
Yeah,
easy to find ones here in Seattle, and then I went to a writer's conference here in Seattle a few years ago where I got all kinds of great information, and especially about indie writing, independent writing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many networking opportunities, some of which I need to really devote more time to taking advantage of.
Yeah, I found, well, for me, because where I live, I'm in Southwest Washington, not in Vancouver, not in Portland, not quite near Seattle. Whenever anybody asks where I live in Washington, I just tell them I'm near Vancouver because I'm rural. We'll just put it that way. So the groups have been kind of hard and far between. There is one fabulous group that I found here in the area. I created my own group because I'm like, I'm control freak, got to have my own group. So, but this podcast has also been something for me because I've been connecting with other organizations. Although I'm an organization stalker now, because I go on the organization websites and find authors and say, hey, you want to be in my podcast? So, but it's a great group. And I love that the Issaquah Writing Cottage is very close to you. So that is something that if I ever get my way up to Issaquah, we're going to go visit. And
you absolutely
and have a chat with them. So,
well, and just, you know, writers are in general just such great people.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Eccentric, I think, or at least most.
Oh, yes. One thing. That's what makes it fun.
Right. And everyone's just so warm and willing to help. And you don't get that, you know, that competitive vibe from.
I was told right out of the gate, you know, be careful. The writing community is competitive and blah, blah, blah. Or I've had people tell me bad experiences about critiques that they've had. But in higher ed, we critique ourselves and each other's work all the time. You know, it's not something in education that I'm afraid to have somebody critique my work. There's nothing that ever goes out without somebody already previewing it before it goes out. So for me, I'm like, that's nothing, whatever, you know, public speaking, I got that down, you know. It's like having a connection with people about the writing process that can be so individualized and internal. And getting that process out is one of the challenging things, you know, as it comes out. And the work is your baby. So you do take the critique a little bit harsher sometimes, but, you know, people can critique well and give good feedback also. So, so final thoughts before we have you read your book, because my listeners know that I ask all these questions first because it's about me and my publishing life and what I'm going through. And then we have you read a little bit. But before we launch into that, what you touched a little bit about some future work you have in process. What would you like your listeners, new readers to be expecting? So they're going to come on this podcast. They're going to hear about you. Your website's going to be updating. Do you have any projections? I'm projecting this for you that your website will update.
It needs to be updated more regularly, but
that's a hard job. That's part of the marketing, social media, all that stuff that can take over our lives. So what information would you like new readers and listeners to know about your future?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, as I mentioned, I'm really trying to do more of the fly fishing stuff. I want to. I've been slowly editing some of those original narratives, and that's where I do get pretty tough on myself. Is the editing's never done. It can always be improved. So knowing when to say when and just allow it to have its voice and be a finished product is tough. And then there's my second children's book. I'm pretty close to, like I said, moving to the illustration process. And it's similar to Together. I kind of want to, at this point, I want to stay true to that outdoorsy theme. And this one is, it's also in rhyming couplets. And it's about a kid, for example, having a choice to be on his computer watching YouTube, or instead he can be out geocaching or
very relevant.
Right, exactly. And it, of course, this was inspired by my daughter in a little bit of a different way than the other one, and we try to be active as much as we can, and she's 11 now and into doing Musical.ly videos and all these other online, and we're trying to really limit that screen time and do other healthier activities. So,
gosh, it's such a hard challenge, isn't it? My kids are older. I couldn't do my social media marketing without my kids, though, because they're so advanced, and I have an IT background. So I tell everybody, my kids cut their teeth on the keyboards, and they're amazing. They're fantastic and all of that. But they, seeing little younger kids coming up with phones in their hand, or immediately I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? they're not out there playing and having fun. And, so I love that theme that you're going with. I think it's really relevant. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's set up what you're going to read. Tell us the title of the book and kind of give the listener and of the podcast a little bit of background before you start reading, and then I'll shut up and let you read.
Okay, I'd be happy to. So this is my first and at this point only children's book. It's called Together, and as we mentioned, it's illustrated by very, very talented artist, and to date, this is her only book. So this was a project for her as well. That when we met, she had said that she had always wanted to do a book. So another reason why our partnership has worked out pretty well. So this is simply inspired by my time with my daughter, Genevieve, who we call Evie. And again, being most of the rhyming couplets are about outdoor activities and taking opportunities to be together outdoors. And the illustrations, this is something Megan and I did very intentionally. At first, it was going to be basically an illustration on each page of her and I doing these activities. But I decided, and with a lot of collaboration with Megan, that we would instead have different daddy and son and daughter duos, and have them also of different ethnic backgrounds. So to make it a little bit more diverse, which I'm glad we did it that way. Okay, so it begins, I'll just read a few pages. Together, Daddy and I will, and then I have an ellipsis there. And then it goes on to the first page. Travel the world, catching fish, big, medium, and small, admiring nature in winter, spring, summer, and fall. We'll camp in the wilderness, hiking mountain trails by day. On a high hilltop, we'll rest in a warm golden ray. We'll serve food to the homeless, making their hunger a bit lighter. Shouldn't everyone help make all lives a bit brighter? We'll play golf, experiencing all levels of frustration and bliss. From birdies to bogeys, Daddy will turn to me for a kiss. Play music with a piano, guitar, drums, or sax. What better way for the two of us to relax? Collect things like special rocks, coins, sea glass, or spoons. To spend time with me, Daddy says he'd fly to the moon. We'll just do one more page here. Make a kite dance in the wind so very far out of reach. Getting it high in the sky, a skill Daddy's happy to teach. And I'll stop there.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Oh, thank you. And you know, it feels weird to read this knowing that it's going to be done as a podcast because...
But that's okay, because my listeners will know to go to your website because they can preview some of the illustrations. At least your website is really designed well. So listeners, the website's beautiful and you can see the illustrations. So I highly encourage you to get this book. If you have little ones, if you're a grandparent, it's a great book gift. And especially it really encourages us to spend time with the ones we love and the outdoors doing great things. So,
well, you knew exactly where I was going with that because so many of my friends and even people I don't know that well after they got the book would say things like, oh, the writing's great, but really it's the pictures. That
Well, that's a brilliant compliment because the pictures couldn't come to life without the writing. So,
well, and I didn't take it at all as anything other than a compliment. And I agree, Megan is so very talented. And I was fortunate, very fortunate to be able to align with her.
Awesome. Well, Derek, thanks so much for coming on the podcast and sharing with us. When you get your other works put out, we'll have you back on because I think it'd be fun to talk about some of your other works moving forward. And yeah. Listeners, definitely go find Derek's website. Derek, are you on social media as well so people can find you on social media?
I am, yes. Again, I need to do a little bit more about the promotion or the promotion and
okay. Marketing
veins, but I have an Instagram page. I tweet every now and then, need to do more of that. And of course, you mentioned my website, Derek Hines, author or writer, DerekHinesWriter.com.
Yeah.
And I also have a newsletter. So if you go to my webpage,
newsletter
has that, but please subscribe to my newsletter because I will, as we move through that process of the second book, I'll have some information to come out and updates.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure that listeners, all of Derek's social media websites, all attached to show notes. So you can just click right off of while you're listening, go and find him. While I was reading the book, you can click right on his website, check out the beautiful illustrations that are already on there. And thanks so much for coming and being with us. And we look forward to having you again soon.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure doing this. And I hope I was able to help you in your journey.
Oh, yes. At least somewhat,
and be happy.
Very encouraging. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hoped you loved hearing from the author as much as we did. If you did enjoy the author, make sure you find them on social media, buy their book, and write a review. Are you a published author and would like to be featured on the podcast? Visit us at our website to learn more.
You can help support the production of this podcast by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Share the podcast with your friends. And most importantly, become a supporter. Supporters receive monthly bonus podcasts and a newsletter filled with tips from our authors. To find out more how to become a supporter, visit our website. And finally, I hope you always remember to enjoy the journey. Until next week, this is Vicki J. Carter saying goodbye.